Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That parable of the sower and the seed is probably one of Jesus' best-known parables. And I appreciate it especially because it's one of those that Jesus explains himself to his disciples. We don't have to guess what the seed is. We don't have to figure it out on our own. Jesus tells us. We don't have to figure out what these different kinds of soil are, the four different kinds Jesus mentions, the wayside and the rock and the thorns and the good soil. Jesus tells us. He tells his disciples and explains it to them when they ask him. He preached to the multitude the parable without the explanation, and later it was the disciples who came and said, "Jesus, what does it mean?" One wonders why the crowd that heard that parable didn't do the same thing, why they didn't press Jesus for an explanation. But then, that's partly what the parable is about. Not always does the word fall on good soil. The seed is the word of God, Jesus says. What is that word? Is it just a matter of picking a phrase or a sentence or a paragraph out of the Bible somewhere and reading it, either to yourself or out loud? Is that what it means to sow God's word? Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. There. That was from Genesis chapter 5. Is that the word of God? Yes, it is. Is it true and reliable? Yes, it is. But was that sowing the word of God by reading those verses from Genesis chapter 5? No. No, there's more to it than that. Or take the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Are the commandments God's word? Yes, they are. Are they true and reliable? Should they be learned by heart and studied? Absolutely. But is reciting those commandments the sowing of the word of God that Jesus refers to? No, it's more than that. The word of God that is sown and that germinates in the heart is specifically the gospel, the message from God that all are sinners, but that God, in his love for the sinful world, sent his Son to save our fallen race, who died and rose again and made reconciliation between us and God, so that everyone who believes in him is justified and eternally saved. That's the word that is sown in the heart and that germinates or doesn't. That's the word that Jesus is talking about. It's not that it has to be phrased just that way. The word that is sown can be more words than that or fewer. The word that is sown includes that gospel together with all the teaching of the entire Bible. But without that word of Christ, without the word of sin and God's grace in Christ, the law and the gospel, it isn't yet the word that Jesus is talking about that is sown in the heart. Not everyone believes the word when it's sown. Some believe only for a while, and then they fall away again. And today Jesus tells us why, at least as much of the why as we need to know. The first thing you should notice in all four of the kinds of soil that Jesus talks about is that all four are hearers of the word. All four groups are disciples of Jesus. We're not talking in this parable about the atheists in the world or about the Muslims. We're talking about those who gather in Christian churches to hear the word of God, the word of Christ. That is the word that is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, but not all believe. And here's how Jesus explains that to us, so that we're not surprised by it when the word is preached and the hearers, even the majority of hearers, don't believe and produce fruit. Jesus says that some receive it like the seed that fell by the wayside. It was trampled down and the birds of the air devoured it. Jesus says these are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So again, they're disciples, they're hearers of the word, but they don't believe it. They may believe that some of it is true, they may believe parts of the Bible. It's not talking about people who just take the Bible and throw it away. It's people who may well believe that it's true in what it says, but they don't rely on it. People who hear the word of God, but they keep missing the point that all of the scriptures point to our need caused by our sin and Jesus as God's sacrifice for our sins, that point to Jesus as the only Savior and faith as the only means of laying hold of Christ for salvation. They'd miss the point of the scriptures, so they may focus on parts of it and be very excited about parts of it, but if they miss that point about Christ as the only Savior and all scripture pointing to Christ, then they don't repent of their sins. They don't rely on Christ alone for forgiveness. They're not saved. These are hearers who twist God's word to make it say what they want it to say, what their itching ears want to hear, as Paul says to Timothy. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." These are the hearers who flock to false teachers in any and every denomination, in any and every Christian church, flock to them because they don't let God's word be the determining factor for deciding which church to go to. They make it about something else. They make their own beliefs, their own ideas, their own thoughts the factor that determines, I go to this church because they teach what I believe. You see how they've turned to what they believe into the guide and God's word into whatever they mold it into being. It should be the other way around, where God's word determines what you believe, and you only believe it because God's word says it. But those who were by the wayside don't treat it that way. They're those who come to church for superficial reasons and leave a church for superficial reasons. They become attached to things, to people, to institutions. Then you have the second group, those who are like those who fell on rock, the seed that fell on rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Jesus says these are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The first kind of hearer, those by the wayside, never believed it. They were hearers, but not believers, ever. According to Jesus. The second group believe for a while. And again, this is one of those passages that we turn to against those who say, well, you can never fall away from faith. If it's true faith, you can't fall away. Well, Jesus says they did believe for a while until temptation came. The heat of the day came as heat that attacks the plants that grow up from the ground. But if the plants are planted on a rock, their roots won't be able to sustain them with moisture against the heat of the day. And so they wither and die. These are those who hear the word and believe. They have the truth, the pure word of God proclaimed, and they rejoice in it. They rejoice in the message of Christ. They take God's word seriously. They may even become pastors. They're excited about the gospel until they begin to realize that the Christian life comes with a cross, a real cross, with temptation and persecution and daily self-denial. They feel the heat of persecution. Times get tough. And finally, when it comes down to a decision of whether to confess Christ and suffer for it or to just keep quiet in order to keep the peace, they choose keeping the peace over Christ. And they wither up and die. Jesus says in another place, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory." The third group receives the seed of the word like the seed that fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Jesus says, "These are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." So the second group of hearers fall away when things are going badly, when things are tough. The third group, this third group that fell among the thorns, fall away when things are going just fine. When there is no heat of persecution, they're able to withstand that. There's no heat. They're in fine soil. There's no rocks. The roots can go down. They don't even notice those thorns growing up around them. The cares and riches and pleasures of this life. The thorns spring up around them and together with them. They begin to imagine that they can hear the word of God on Sunday and then the rest of the week simply go out and pursue their own goals, their worldly desires, their worldly orientation of their life. There are earthly concerns that they have to take care of. There are pleasures to be had and experienced. There's money to be made. Rather than letting God's word be everything that determines where they go throughout the week, they take their earthly life and make that now what determines the rest. And sometimes they even have church time to come to church on Sunday. But this is the third kind, where the thorns choke the word. As Luther puts it, "To these belong those who hear the word but do not bring under subjection their flesh. They know their duty but do not do it. They teach but do not practice what they teach, and are this year as they were the last." There's no growth because God's word isn't everything to them. This world chokes it. Finally, some receive the word like the seed that fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. These, Jesus says, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. These hearers are surrounded by thorns, surrounded by the heat of the sun, surrounded by rocks. The birds would gladly snatch up this seed just as they snatched up the seed that fell by the wayside. But here in the good soil, the seed perseveres. It sends down roots, finds water, sustains the heat of the day and the threat of the thorns. Here the seed grows and matures and produces a crop 100-fold, 100 times that which was sown. How? They hear the word. They keep it. They keep it in their hearts. They treasure it. They order their life around God's word instead of ordering God's word somewhere in the priorities of their life, so that the word of God alone determines their going out and their coming in. All of this is to say that Christ is their all in all, because the word of Christ and Christ himself cannot be separated from one another, as if you can believe the word but not listen to Jesus, or as if you could believe in Jesus but not listen to his word and hear it and believe it. Where there is one, there is the other. So Jesus tells us this parable for our instruction. He wants us to understand that although his word is proclaimed far and wide, many of its hearers, even the majority, do not hear it with a noble and good heart. That serves as a warning for us that we should listen carefully to God's word and believe it. Watch out for false doctrine. Watch out for temptation and the cares of this life, and face the heat of persecution with courage, so that nothing can draw us away from God's word and from Christ. This parable calls us to repentance when we resist God's word that is proclaimed in our hearing. But this parable is also told for our comfort, because when you hear the word of Christ as you're now hearing it, when you receive the sacraments of Christ, there is the seed of life being sown in your heart again. And if you failed to hear it in a good and noble heart yesterday, here it is again being planted. Hear it in a good and noble heart today. And as God said through the prophet Isaiah, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Know for certain, because God says so, that all who hear his word, he wants them to be saved. Know for certain that God sent his Son for all, and that Christ died for all. Do you sorrow over your sins? Then be comforted by this word of Christ. It's doing in you exactly what God intends, to make you sorrow over your sins so that you repent and turn to Jesus for forgiveness and mercy, where you'll always find it. Where faith will be created in you, but not you creating faith in yourself. It's not your work, it's God's work in you. God's work, sown in your heart as his word is preached, sown in your heart as his word is also attached to bread and wine. The life-giving seed of God's word is not beyond your reach, out there somewhere. As Paul says to the Romans, the word is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. May God's word planted in your heart today spring forth and grow and bear abundant fruit by the power and working of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.